of course, now allows gay marriage.
And then let's turn to health care. In our coverage of Obamacare this year, we also covered how it's fed interest into single-payer health care. In October, I spoke with Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, the primary care physician and co-founder of Physicians for National Health Program, which has worked with the group Healthcare Now to continue their push for single-payer, both at the state level and at the national level.
Single-payer is also known as expanded and improved Medicare for All, also known as non-profit national health insurance. It means you would get a card the day you're born and you keep it your entire life. It would entitle you to medical care, all needed medical care, without co-payments, without deductibles. And because it's such a simple system, like Social Security, there would be very low administrative expenses. We would save about $400 billion. Which would allow us to afford the system. I mean, I just want to remind you that when Medicare was rolled out in 1966, it was rolled out in 6 months using index cards. So if you have a simple system, you do not have to have all this expense and all this complexity and work.
What do you mean, index cards?
They didn't have computers back in 1966, okay? So they expanded, went from zero to over 20 million people enrolled in Medicare in a period of 6 months. And because it was a simple system based on the Social Security records, it was a tax-based system. You didn't have hundreds of people programming the state of Oregon, thousands of different plans, tons of different co-payments, deductibles, and restrictions. One single payer plan, which is what we need for all Americans, to give the Americans really the choice they want, which is not the choice between insurance company A or insurance company B. They want the choice of any doctor or hospital like you get with traditional Medicare.
That's Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, primary care physician, co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program. Sarah Van Gelder, your editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine, wrote this piece, 10 Hopeful Things That Happened in 2013. How do you get from Obamacare to single-payer? So many people feel that what happened this year was so, well, somewhat catastrophic on many different levels.
Well, I'm not sure if we will right away, but I can tell you that in the state of Vermont, they're working on that. And that's how Canada got single-payer health care. It started in one province, in the province of Saskatchewan. And it was such a success that all the other provinces wanted it. And even though the party that had put it into place in Saskatchewan only won an election long enough to put it into place and then were voted out of office, the conservatives and the other parties were never able to take it apart because it's been so successful. So in the state of Vermont, they're working on a single-payer health care system statewide right now. Whether or not they can pull it off as just one state in a fairly small state has yet to be seen. But they believe that just as the doctor was speaking of, that there's so much savings to be gained by a far more efficient system of single-payer without all the profits and all the bureaucracy that go along with having all these competing for-profit insurance companies. They believe they can get a better system even just at one state.
And finally, Sarah Van Gelder, we only have a few seconds, but it's hard to put Syria on the list of something hopeful that happened, but you managed to.
Well, I did, because I believed that back in the summer, I think many of us believed that we were going to go to war in Syria and it was going to become yet another quagmire like Iraq and Afghanistan. And somehow, the combination of people power, perhaps some wisdom from the Obama administration, I think it was the American people rising up and just saying, we've had enough. But somehow, diplomacy won out, international law won out, and instead of the U.S. getting further involved and further making things even worse for the Syrian people, we're now working with the international community on getting rid of those chemical weapons.
Well, Sarah Van Gelder, I want to thank you very much for joining us, editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine. Her latest piece, 10 Hopeful Things That Happened in 2013, to get you inspired for what's to come. We'll link to it at democracynow.org. Tune in on New Year's Day, on Wednesday, for our special year in review that looks back at 2013. You can also visit our website to see the top 20 most viewed interviews this year at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felsar, Mate Nirmin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Cassandra Lazare, Messiah Rhodes, Jarena Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Elizabeth Press, Jessica Lee, John Wallach, Vesta Godars, and special thanks to Brendan Allen and our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Krugmetis, Carlo De Jesus. Happy New Year, a peaceful New Year. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm. This is Donna.
And I'm Bob.
With your WUSB concert billboard for December 31st.
Happy New
Happy
Year!
Happy New Year!
Ring in the swing, a New Year's Eve dance party with Pedrito Martinez Group and the Dominic Farinacci Swing Dance Octet.
8:30 at the Allen Room at Jazz at Lincoln Center.
Clutch, Into Another, and Lionize.
The Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn at 8.
Papa Chubby Band.
7:30 and 10:30 at the Turning Point in Piermont.
Brother Dave with Danny Keene and Jerry Duggar.
At Treme, Blues and Jazz Bar in Islip at 8.
Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers New Year's Eve Party.
At BBQ in Patchogue.
Live and Let Die, a symphonic tribute to Paul McCartney.
7 and 10:30 at the Patchogue Theater.
Slavic Soul Party.
At Barb's of Brooklyn at 10 p.m.
The Nancy Atlas Project.
We'll be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett at 9.
James Maddock.
7 p.m. Stage 2 at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan.
Wondrous Stories.
We'll be at K.J. Farrell's at 8 in Belmore.
Long Island Philharmonic Annual New Year's Eve Spectacular. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway Celebration.
7:30 at the Tillis Center in Brookville.
Oh, there he is. Billy Joel with special guest Ben Folds 5.
At the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, 9:30.
Paul Mahos and New Life Crisis.
At Agave's, 8:30, West Hampton Beach.
And Kerry Carney.
We'll be at the Maples in Manorville, 9 p.m.
Oh, yes. 4 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's New Year's Eve, in case you couldn't tell. And it's also time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Good evening. And welcome to Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this New Year's Eve. The third of my four in a row holiday shows. A once in a lifetime event for me. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Wow. It's fun, though. It's amazing. Things are just so different. For one thing, it's really easy to find parking spaces now. And people don't get in your way because there aren't any people. Everyone's off someplace. A lot of people in Times Square right now, in fact. I was listening to another radio station on the way in. Yeah, I do that. I listen to other radio stations. Yeah, I heard this is something that I could go off on for a full hour, but there was a station that I grew up with out on Eastern Long Island, which was kind of like, what was it, classic rock, progressive rock? I don't know, what do you call it back in the 70s and 80s? They'd play Stairway to Heaven every night at the same time. They'd play an album side at midnight. It was WRCN and Riverhead, and then they've gone to an all-news format as of, I think, a couple of days ago. And I was just listening to it on the way in because I was curious what that meant. And you know what it means? More ultra-right-wing talk on the radio. Yet another station. And we're in New York, for God's sake. We're in New York, and there's yet another ultra-right-wing station singing the praises of Rush Limbaugh and cutting Obama down as much as they possibly can and speaking out against things like gun control and health care and long life and prosperity for people that aren't already prosperous, and just all that usual crap that we hear everywhere else. And I wonder, you know, why is it? Why is it that every attempt to do something on the other side fails? Air America, failure. You know, all these left-wing talk show hosts, relegated maybe to a serious XM channel, but with the exception of places like USB, BAI, other non-commercial stations, they just don't exist. And I wonder, you know, is it because nobody wants to hear that kind of talk? I know that's not true, because when you talk to people outside, that's the kind of talk that you hear most often. At least around here. One of the things people talk about is bemoaning the fate of radio and why it's so crappy. So it has to be the presentation. It has to be the way that this is being presented to the public. And I think the right wing has it easy because basically what they do is they latch on to an issue. And they make it as hysterical as possible. As much of a crisis as possible. And this is true of the, I see many emails and websites that basically proclaim the same thing, that, you know, the secret armies are coming up the mountain. Even if you don't have a mountain, they're coming. They're coming for you. They're coming for your guns. They're coming for your dogs. They're coming for everything. And the minorities and the Mexicans, and they're all out there. It's a crisis. Oh, my God, we have to panic. And my theory is that people like to panic. There's something about panicking that draws us in. And that's why war is embraced so often. That's why losing our basic rights is something that sometimes we welcome, because it gives us an opportunity to panic. And in panicking, we can feel safe when nothing happens, because we've given away everything to the people that are allegedly keeping us safe. But in actuality, they're the ones to be aware, to be afraid of and to be aware of. So the left wing on the radio is guilty in not panicking enough and not finding the simple issues, in not agreeing with each other. And we've seen a little bit of that on the right wing, with ultra right wing not agreeing with the super ultra right wing. Okay, and that's fun to see, but not nearly as much as what you see on the left. When the people's Judea front and the Judea front of the people all disagree with each other, and turn each other into the biggest enemies and forget all about the other side of the argument in the first place. And this translates into bad radio. This translates into something that's not focused and not hysterical enough. You didn't see, I put bad radio in air quotes. I'm sorry. It would have been good television, but yeah. And that's the issue. That's why it doesn't seem to ever work. Because, yeah, you know, we can speak out about a particular issue, but then someone's going to call in and say, yeah, you know, you're speaking out on this issue, but you're not addressing this particular concern of a subset of that issue. And I think you really should devote all your time to that. And then someone else will call in and say, don't listen to that person. They're out of their minds. Focus on this subset instead. And before you know it, you've lost track of what it was you're really fighting for. Just a theory. It really annoyed me, though, thinking I was going to hear an actual journalistic endeavor on the radio, on the FM dial, and yet again hearing the same garbage that has taken over so many talk stations, almost all of them in the country, but so many in New York. And that's really what's sad. There should be three or four left-wing stations. And yeah, there should be three or four right-wing stations too, or more. Debating, battling it out. You know, the reason why we don't have single-payer health care is not because of the right wing, it's because of the left wing. As I've said before, the right wing is doing what they are expected to do. And basically fighting everything that Obama proposes or succeeds in actually doing. But the left wing has not pushed hard enough against that opposition. Instead, they've chosen to focus criticism on either other issues or particulars within the issue that is being fought against the right wing, such as healthcare, for instance. Healthcare is the one thing that could have been so much stronger. So much stronger. And it wasn't. Because while the Tea Party people were having all their loud demonstrations and shouting everybody down, the left wing did not engage them. They engaged Obama instead. And basically weakened the whole thing. And yeah, you know, there is much not to agree with as far as the positions that he has taken and some of the stances that he has, some of which are inherited, some of which are not. For instance, the closing of Guantanamo. People on the left love to say that Obama lied about that, but they neglect to mention that when he brought it up, he was immediately attacked by all elements of the right wing who completely overshadowed the issue and made it impossible. Unless he issued some sort of a decree, which I don't believe he can do. Not on that issue. Not without a lot of challenges and bad press and a potential fatal blow to his presidency. Had the left wing stood up at that point and said, you know what, this is important that we close Guantanamo, we're going to have 100,000 people marching in Washington, D.C. to make that happen, it would be closed right now. But instead, they chose to sit back and say, Obama, why didn't you save us? Why didn't you come forth from the heavens and do everything you said you were going to do without a word of support from us? Because you're all powerful and you can defeat the right wing with a single glance. It's unrealistic. It's naive. It's divisive. And the reality of the world is you can't get everything you want right away. But look at what has happened. Look at what has happened in this year and in the last 5 years. We have gay marriage everywhere. We have pot reform. We have two wars that are no longer happening. And yeah, you know, I'm as upset over the drone strikes and military action in other places as anyone. And we need to push against that sort of thing as well. But that doesn't mean that you don't push against the people that want things the way they were 10 years ago. You have to remember, those are the people that will always be there and will be trying to bring us backwards. They won't stop till they overthrow Roe versus Wade and the Civil Rights Act and God knows what else, how far. Sometimes I just want to watch and see what kind of a world they want to create. You know, if I could have a little Petri dish or something, just watch a little experiment unfold. It would be interesting. But no, no. We need to focus on the actual issues and look outwardly, not inwardly as much. I'm not saying don't look inwardly. I'm not saying don't criticize, but not at the expense of the bigger battles. And yeah, I'll be labeled an Obama apologist just for saying that. And that's part of the problem, is that we're so busy labeling and pointing and accusing that there's this whole other fight going on outside that we're simply skipping. And as a result, we lose. That's my theory, anyway, as to why there's no left-wing talk radio to speak of. Certainly not on the commercial dial. All right, I told you I could go off on that. I wasn't planning on saying a word about it, but there you go. It's New Year's Eve. Greetings to everybody in Western Europe who I know just celebrated. They're probably still celebrating right now. Oh, I remember so many times standing in Dam Square in Amsterdam or by Brandenburg in Berlin or various other cities where all the fireworks are just going off and people are drinking openly on the streets and hugging each other and just having a lot of fun. It's happening right now. Right now, at this very moment. And of course, if anybody wants to call in from there, please do. We'll stop everything and take your phone call. Country code 1-631-632-6901. And in about a half hour, folks in the Isles, England, Ireland, will be celebrating. Hopefully celebrating. You know, you should be celebrating. I know a lot sucks in the world. I know there's a lot that needs to be done. But we're here now. We have hope and promise, and damn it, we should celebrate. You know, much like the death of Nelson Mandela was a very sad occasion, but I learned so much by watching how the people of South Africa dealt with that. It was amazing. The happiness, the celebration. Oh, yeah, Obama got all kinds of crap there, too, for taking a selfie. Oh, my God, you're at a funeral. How dare you take a selfie? That's the first time I've ever said the word selfie, and I've said it three times. Wow. So, yeah, things can definitely change. But looking at that, looking at celebrating a life that has ended, being happy, respectful, sad also, but celebrating. So much to learn from that. And I hope to take a little bit of that with me in the future. You know, before we move on, I am compelled to say a couple of things about last week's show. Some apologies are in order. I was made aware afterwards that indeed there is something in the station charter against having an open fire in the middle of a studio. And okay. You live and learn. I also am told that it is against federal law to use station documents, such as the operations logs, to start said fire in the first place, and that it's against university policy to dismantle smoke detectors, and it's, I have to say this part, okay, reprehensibly immoral. Okay, yeah, I don't know if that's fair, and it's also very hard to pronounce. All right. Reprehensibly immoral, okay, to suggest that people start open fires inside their studios, their rooms, even if they think it's safe and they are taking precautions. Yes, okay, it's not safe. It's not ever, ever safe. In a million years, it will never be safe. So apologies are in order for that. Okay, so you shouldn't start an open fire in the middle of a studio. I know this now. And this is educational radio. I'm being educated. I'm learning. So I think it's successful. All right. I think, yeah, I do. I think that was a part of the exercise. And I think, you know, we can use this opportunity to teach people something that they'll take with them for the rest of their lives. All right? And yes, I am not infallible. If I ever said I was infallible, I was wrong. But I'm definitely fallible, as anybody, maybe even more so. And I'll learn certain things as we go along. All right? Does that satisfy everybody? All right, I guess it does. All right, so tonight it's New Year's Eve, and it's a special occasion. And to help with that special occasion, to bring a little cheer here to this place, because it is abandoned. The university is practically closed down. Nobody's around. Another holiday right after the one last week. We need a little bit of cheer and celebration. Stand back just a little bit. Okay? I don't want to hit anybody. All right. Oh, and this will make the hour go a lot better, too. Wow. And I'm not being stingy here, because I did bring several of them. Pass it around. Just pass it around. And we'll get through the half hour remaining. As I said, I would like to take phone calls from people that are celebrating, but I understand if people are too busy celebrating to actually take part themselves in this. I've stood in Times Square myself, so I know that. Okay, just keep it down. I know that you can't really, even if you want to make a phone call, it's not easy because the circuits are kind of tied up. And some people might not have celebrated yet. Some people might have celebrated 12 hours ago. Who knows? But if you're out there someplace, we'd like to hear from you. 631-632-6901. Country code 1 if you're somewhere else. And tell us what's going on. I'm pretty sure I know what's going on. People are probably drinking bottles of champagne, like we have a few here, okay? And other such things. Maybe smoking a few things. I know in Colorado and Washington, they'll be doing that a little bit later on. And looking forward to 2014. Cannot believe 2014 is at our throats already. That is something. So, we have a lot of people suddenly congregated inside the conference room area. It's amazing. You just open a couple of bottles and they come out of the woodwork almost literally. Where I just looked away for a minute and I saw two people, then four people. Now there's like about 25 people in there. Wow. That is something. Of course, I'm stuck here in the isolated control room on the other side, but hopefully we'll be joining you in a little bit. If we get phone calls, we'll go to delay. And if we don't get phone calls, I'll read stories about gun issues. How about that? Yeah, because I know that's everyone's favorite topic. And there are so many stories that have come out this year. Oh, my God. It's just, it never stops. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And this year, 2013, was the year that we kind of demonstrated how impossible it is to change things. You know, it takes a room full of kids being mowed down by a lunatic to show that the gun lobby is so powerful that even the most artificial types of controls will be defeated, and that people will actually stock up more on these insane weapons of death. Now, there was something interesting that happened today where a federal judge upheld the majority of the gun law here in New York. He ruled today that New York's expanded ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines was constitutional. But he also struck down a provision forbidding gun owners from loading their firearms with more than 7 rounds. And honestly, you know, that part, 7, 8, 10, it's a number. The important thing, really, is the striking down something that allows people to get ridiculous amounts of weaponry in their possessions. High-capacity magazines, assault weapons. It's crazy to have the arguments that we've been having in the media about this, about people feeling they have the right to be able to mow down a room full of people in a couple of seconds. And it just shows how crazy it's all gotten. The judge called the 7-round limit an arbitrary restriction that violated the Second Amendment. But he said the greater restrictions on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines were constitutional because they served to further the state's important interest in public safety. Now, Governor Andrew Cuomo, lawmakers, various sorts, passed legislation among the most restrictive in the country last January in response to the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut, a year ago. And we were the first state to pass new gun laws after that shooting. You know, I have mixed feelings about this. I think laws should be passed as a result of logic, not as a reaction to horror, because that's kind of how the Patriot Act came about. So you sometimes have short-sightedness. In this case, though, I think it's overdue. I think it's overdue that we actually have something that makes it a little bit more sane, unlike so many other places in this country where it's not sane, where almost anything goes. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And I see we have phone calls coming in, so maybe I should shut up about this. It is New Year's Eve, after all. But just in closing for this story, let me just say, yeah, the ruling offered a victory to gun control advocates at the end of a year when relatively few new restrictions were passed in state capitals and efforts to pass new legislation in the federal level were driven back in the right-wing Congress. So, yeah, you know, I know gun rights groups have been very critical of those measures, having demonstrations in various parts of the state. But they got their 7 rounds, okay? They should be happy with that. I try to understand. I really do. I try to understand the logic, you know, and it doesn't take, no matter how many times somebody tries to explain it to me, I just keep asking the same questions. Why do you feel you need this? You know, this is not something that existed back when the founding fathers, who you bow down and pray to constantly, were around. And if they were around today, I really doubt they would endorse this kind of thinking. I really, really doubt that. All right. You know, we're going to go into delay. The phone calls have disappeared, but I'm going to assume they'll come back if I go into delay and get myself prepared to take some phone calls. So let's set all that up. Again, the phone number is 631-632-6901. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Taj Mahal, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And we're back. And hopefully everything is working. We'll know soon enough if it's not. It is working. I'm told it is working. Okay, so our phone number is 631-632-6901. If you're somewhere in the world that is celebrating New Year's, or if you're here, or if you have something to say, please give us a call, 631-632-6901. Otherwise, I'm prepared to talk about gun rights and gun control and gun statistics and all that for the rest of the 25 minutes we have left. But none of us want that, do we? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Welcome.
Yes, I was calling up about your comment about our forefathers, about the weapons, if they really would have, appreciated, you know, what's going on right now. I understand about Sandy Hook and everything else.
Right.
You know what? When that was written, when all that was written, we were getting emancipated from England.
Right.
Our forefathers, we couldn't do that. We couldn't overthrow our where we came from, okay, England, but we could not overthrow them without.
Go on.
I'm on the radio.
Yeah. Now listen to the radio. You'll get very confused. You're on delay.
Without BB guns. So when they vote that, you understand what I'm saying? I'm getting very confused.
Of course. Yeah, please turn down your radio. But let me just say, when you're fighting a war...
I'm saying we were emancipating ourselves, so we have to also protect ourselves from our own government.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but do you really think that no matter what kind of weapon you have, you're a match for the federal state, even the town government? They have a lot more than you can ever have. I don't think that's an effective way to fight them.
You too. I'm not saying that you go to war with the whole government. I'm just saying you were given the right by your forefathers to have that kind of weaponry because at that time, you had to have those weapons.
At that time, yes. At that time, it was a very different world.
Bringing up that's exactly right. So what I'm trying to say is that our forefathers definitely, they're the ones that wrote it.
Uh-huh.
There's a reason why they wrote it. Okay, but maybe it should be changed a little bit now, but crazy people, just if they don't go to guns, if they can't do what they're going to do, they're going to grab bombs. They'll do whatever they got to do. They intend to go out to kill a mass amount of people. They're going to go get whatever it takes to do that and plot that out.
Well, I mean, it sounds kind of fatalistic that it's just going to happen no matter what, so we might as well just allow everything. I don't think they will go to bombs. I think maybe they'll go to something a little bit...
All people that just go to firing ranges that weren't even coming out of the war, that enjoy shooting, that were trained to do this kind of stuff, they go to regular shooting ranges. Yeah, but my point is that you can't... like make that kind of judgment call that every person in the world has this kind of, in America has this kind of thought to go do that. A lot of them go down there just to the shooting ranges with their weaponry and reminisce. Like, you know, a lot of them are ex-vets. I've been to most of the shooting ranges, Calverton and everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem is when the shooting ranges are on our streets. And I think until we start...
But that could happen no matter what. You could try to take that off the street, then they go into the black market, just like drugs, prescription drugs, and everything else.
Right, but there are lots of countries where the problem is not nearly as severe as here, and that's because they have some element of control. Now, it's a fair argument to say, well, it's too late now, the cat's out of the bag, and it's impossible... well, I'd like to ask you, if we can go back, say, 30, 40 years when there were far less guns around, would you have supported limiting it back then?
Well, back then, as you said, it was a different story.
I don't mean back in the Revolutionary War era. I mean back in, say, the 1950s and 60s when it wasn't as much of a problem. There weren't guns everywhere.
Yeah, now it has gotten out of hand. But, mm-hmm. I mean, bringing it down to the 7 rounds and everything, but... Your right to bear arms is what a lot of this country was based on.
Okay, but, you know, where do you stop? Because bombs are arms as well. In fact, bombs are in the Star Spangled Banner. Does everybody have a right to develop a nuclear weapon of their own? Do you have a right to a tank? Do you have a right to cannons? Where do you stop?
I understand your point. I just, what you said about our forefathers, it was different then. They did write it.
Yeah, and every constitution in Western Europe and most of the civilized world has been rewritten this century, not maybe this century, but within the last, say, 50 or 60 years, has been rewritten, updated, because the world does change. And I think it's time that we realize that the world has changed and we need to change with it. It doesn't mean giving up your rights. There are far more important rights to me than the right to fire a gun, the right for free speech, for instance, which has been trampled, and I've seen... precious little resistance to that from the people that are supposedly for gun rights.
But where do you draw the line after the guns? What else will be getting amended? You know what I mean? What other rights will get taken away after that?
Well, we have to look at each one individually. Like, some people thought taking away the right to smoke inside a restaurant was a big civil rights violation. But you know what? We seem to have changed. We seem to have changed our attitudes. And now that's the norm that, hey, you're not subjected to cigarette smoke even inside a bar. We can change as people. It used to be that we could not even wrap our heads around black people voting or living in the house next door or a gay couple being married. But people do change over time. And I think this is something that if we're going to survive as a country, we have to change our attitudes. Because you look at statistics, you look at the firearm-related deaths throughout the world, And we are so high up there as far as number of people who die per 100,000 firearm-related deaths. The number that I'm seeing here is 10.3. Might not sound like much, but that's pretty high. 10.3. Compare that to the United Kingdom, 0.25. You know, that's not the number of people. That is the percentage. That's per 100,000, number of people per 100,000. And even Canada, right next door to us, very similar. We're 10.3, and they are only 2.38. And they have guns, too. They have guns, too. Not as many as we do, but they have a number, and they're able to deal with them responsibly, relatively responsibly. It's not 100% the guns. That's something that I learned watching Bowling for Columbine, actually. That it's really our mentality. We're a violent society, and it gets reinforced over and over again. So no, I'm not saying getting rid of all the guns or trying to get rid of all the guns is going to solve the problem. No, that's naive. But changing our attitudes about them is really where we need to begin.
I understand your point. Okay.
Well, I'm glad we could hear each other out. That's an important part of all this.
I gave you a call because, you know what, but we have you really... You'd have to. You can rewrite everything in the amendments. Every one of them, you can rewrite.
But yeah, there are some
substantial.
There are some that
you can't
definitely
use
need.
Just some incidents. I know that they've been occurring over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that does need to be changed. But really, we're already being watched on film at every stoplight. We're becoming more of a communistic socialist country.
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, yeah, those kinds of things are prevalent in those societies, but they're not limited to those societies. Right-wing dictatorships, every single type of government wants to watch its citizens. And yes, very good point. That is what we should be fighting against more than anything else. With all of our guns, we can't stop that. We can't stop the prying eyes of the NSA from watching us. That is really where our rights will start to evaporate if we let that happen.
Well, I have to go. I have my family here. I just heard that comment. I figured I'd call. It was very nice speaking with you. I didn't think I'd be on the radio.
Well, you are. Yes, the magic of USB. May I ask where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Mastic, and I was just calling up just to make that comment. But you have a good new year. I do hope that assault rifles get taken out totally. But amendments are very important, and mm-hmm. they should be respected.
Yes.
Not just changed immediately.
Yeah, no, we should think these things through, but let's not think that we can't change things, because we can. It takes too long, but we can change things little by little.
Little by little.
All right, thanks for your call.
Let's hope that happens.
All right, Happy New Year.
God bless.
Take care. 631-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
Do you hear me?
I hear you, but I also hear you 7 seconds.
Right, I'm in.
Yeah, you got to turn that down. And I'm going to ask you one more time, where are you calling from?
Hold on 1 second.
Wow. You know, people say communications are getting better. I don't think they are. I really don't. Are you back?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Let me ask you a question. Where are you calling from?
I'm JJ from Bayshore.
Okay, Bayshore, right here on Long Island.
I love the boss, the DJ. He's so cool. I think he knows me. I've been listening for 29 and a half years.
Oh, wow. That's a good radio you got there.
June, it'll be 30.
Yeah.
I've been supporting it, maybe about 20.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks to listeners like you, we are still on the air, and we're still able to broadcast all kinds of things.
I'm sorry?
Thanks to listeners like you, we're able to survive.
Well, hey, listen, Mike, you know, I got, probably over 50 people to join. I just got another person to join, 2 days ago?
Wow. How do you get people to join? What do you do?
Well, it was my landlord, and there was a one-hit wonders on, and we're, you know, from the 70s, and, you know, I told him to listen, and, call in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was able to get on the air. There was over 200 people that were trying to get on, but you know, I know a lot of DJs there, and you know, from the years and years. I was in 1984.
Wow. Well,
you know, I'm alone tonight, but, you know, that might be a good thing. I'm safe. I'm in my house. I'm going to cook myself a little dinner. And, you know, I was just wondering, you know, if you could tell my boy, the DJ, if he could give me a shout-out, because I'm making a tape for my daughter.
Uh-huh.
I have so many tapes. It's unbelievable.
So you tape WUSB a lot?
I'm sorry?
Do you tape WUSB a lot?
I have about 150 tapes.
Wow, you might have some material that we'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Very cool. So now, who is it that you want to give a shout-out to you?
Well, my name is JJ from Bayshore, and my daughter is Christy Lee O'Toole. You don't have to say that.
Okay.
Christy Lee.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to tape it. I'm outside right now. I've got to go down the basement again.
Uh-huh.
But I'm running out of cassettes. I don't know where to get them.
Yeah, it's hard to get cassettes. You know, you got to order them on the internet. That's really the only place you can get them.
You know what's really cool? I know you got to go.
Yeah.
Is you go to yard sales and you get, like, tapes, you know, like whatever, you know, even if there's songs on them.
Yes.
And you block them.
Uh-huh.
Just little tabs. You know, little squares, and you just put, like, a piece of cardboard, and then you can tape right over it.
Or a little piece of scotch tape or something like that. Yeah, that method still works.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
the things you can find at yard sales, you know, people are going around like crazy buying up vinyl at every single yard sale they can find. And, you know, amazingly enough, it's kids. A lot of times it's kids buying the vinyl. What does that tell you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So when the spring comes in again, I'm going to buy it, you know, like 50 cents a piece, you know, when you got to buy a blank is like $5-6, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a pastime here in Long Island to go to garage sales and yard sales on the weekends and just find all kinds of cool things.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's definitely cool. Well, listen, have a good new year. And being at home is really kind of a cool way to spend it, because you can do whatever you want. And yes, as you said, you're safe. And you can just watch the rest of the world, what they're doing, and feel tied in with the radio, certainly.
I don't have to freeze, you know. I was in so many times, you know, watching the Apple in those days, and, you know, freezing and screaming. And then after that, I went to B.B. King's, you know, and hung out there, you know. But, you know, I'm about 60, you know, and it's about time just to kick back, you know, bro.
Oh, for a little while anyway, but you got the best ahead of you.
Yeah. So I'm going to go downstairs. I have it all ready. I just got to hit a button, and that's it, you know?
Okay, I'm not sure who is it that's going to be giving you the shout-out. What DJ did you want to give you a shout-out?
My man that's on right now.
Well, that's me. Emmanuel?
Oh, you just sound different.
Oh.
You sound different from the radio than you do on the phone.
Okay, well, have we talked on the phone?
I don't know if you remember me, but I have plenty of tapes for you.
Well, no, I am interested in this. From back in the brain damage days, you mean?
Oh, man, you know, when I get it together, maybe you want to record it or something like
I would very much welcome that opportunity, because there are some things we might be missing.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend of mine who's been listening to for 35 years.
Uh-huh.
That's the first song that they even played on, WUSB.
Yeah, you know what? Can you send us an email? Do you have email capabilities?
No, I don't have anything like that.
Oh, no.
But don't worry about it. I'll get through, you know. I'm in Bayshore, but there's no problem. You know, I'll mail, you know, whatever. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Well, we just want to make sure that you stay in touch in case there's anything on those tapes that we might be interested in.
Well, I'm like, you know, you guys are my life, man. You know, I mean, you've been through me through thick and thin, you know, when I've been depressed, and, you know, and you guys have been really good to me. You know, it's you're part of my life. Music is a part of my life, and you guys are so kind to me. And it really does help me, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear. And that's what you're talking about, is the magic of radio, the magic of local radio, where you can just basically talk back and forth to each other, and you're a part of each other's lives. And, yeah, you get it. You really do get it, and that's why we do this.
It's so true. I know you got to go, but I remember there was an early talk show in Manhattan, and the fella, I don't remember his name, decades ago, said that to all listeners to meet at a certain place in Manhattan, right?
Uh-huh.
It was unbelievable how many people listened to late night radio.
Yeah, well, I told people to meet tonight in the Times Square area, and from what I understand, it's gotten a little bit out of control. There's so many people there right now. No, I can't take credit for that. I didn't actually say that. They went on their own. But you're right. You're absolutely right. That can happen.
I don't want to be a sardine. If I have to use the bathroom, I'm handicapped. I can't stand for long.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm much happier just in my own space.
Well, you sound happy, and I hope the next year brings you much happiness as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep in touch, and don't worry about it. There's no doubt about it. JJ's and I know a lot of DJs there, you know, JoJo, you know, there's so many work, you know, forget about it, so many people.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to go downstairs, which will take me about, 5 seconds, so.
Okay.
Well,
JJ, I will give you a shout-out in about, let's say, 2 minutes. How about that?
All right, I'm going downstairs right now because it's really cold out.
Uh-huh. What, you got one of those cordless phones?
I'm sorry?
You got a cordless phone. You're going down the stairs with the cordless phone.
Yeah, because I don't want to lose, you know, you can't hear me that well.
Yeah. I can tell that you're in motion, that you're moving to a different place.
Yeah. Well, next time I'll be in the air maybe.
Uh-huh. So good to hear from our listeners. I haven't heard from anybody overseas. It was probably in a state where they can't make a phone call at all. But if you are there, people in London, or it's going to be New Year's in about 7 minutes, people in...
Every time I call, I go through my cassette and everything. I would fucking mail you, and then you can just mail them back to me.
That would be awesome. I'm sure you have our address, and I'm on every week at this time, so please keep in touch with that.
Oh, absolutely. I write down everything. I have a calendar, and I write down everything. When
right.
You guys are coming back, what is 1 week, 2 weeks?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Thank you for, listen, one last thing. Thank you very much for taking the time to make people happy and not take a dime.
That's right, we don't. Not that there's a dime to take, but we don't take anything except good feelings.
And I'm hoping when June comes that I can talk to somebody, one of the big wigs, to see if I can come up to the station, you know?
Oh, you don't have to talk to a big wig? Of course you can come up.
That's really cool.
Absolutely.
That would be like the highest, better than winning the lottery, man. I'm telling you, bro.
All right, JJ, we got to go, but we're going to give you a shout-out in just a couple of seconds, all right?
I'm going to...
All right. You have a happy New Year now.
Peace to your family.
All right. Take care. Wow. What great calls we're getting tonight. Local calls. I like that. But as I said, I like also hearing from people in different parts of the world. Those people in Germany and in Netherlands, Czech Republic, Spain, places like that. You know, it's been 2014 for almost an hour now over there. And we kind of like to know what we're in for. So, but we're almost out of time. So unless you're dialing right now, you probably won't get through. Again, +1-631-632-6901. Finn is coming up next with his last show of 2013. Yes. and next week will be his first show of 2014. That's how dramatic things get around here. And you can write to us. If you have secret archives of our past recordings and things like that, we're definitely interested in what you might have. Going back to the 1980s, wow, that you might really have something. OTW at 2600.com. That's 2600.com. That's our email address. And, of course, we love to hear from all of our listeners all the time. You know, I had so much more to talk about with gun rights and laws and regulations and things like that, but I'm just as happy not to talk about that. I'm happy enough just to hope that things will get better in the future, that we'll have a conversation, that we'll do some give and take, learn a little bit from each other, and that we'll see positivity, we'll see inspiration, we'll see a better life for most, if not all of us. And with that, I guess we're done. That's it. Our last show for 2013. I don't think we've ever done a New Year's Eve show from the studio. Have we? I don't know if we've done that on Off the Wall. But wow, it's kind of a cool show to do. And Finn is coming up for the next couple hours, and he's going to do an amazing job here on New Year's Eve as the ball gets closer to dropping in Times Square. I don't know how that ever got started. Why is that such a big deal? Who cares? You know, I mean, I've done it. I went to Times Square a couple of times, but I made sure that I went before 9/11 because I knew after it was going to be a lot more unpleasant, you know, and all kinds of police and searching and things like that. It's just stressful now. It was nice before. It was still stressful because there were a million people there, but it was kind of celebratory. And now there was just, you know, like JJ, our good friend JJ in Bayshore, summed it up so well. And that JJ, by the way, was your shout out. He summed it up so well by saying that spending New Year's in your home is really the best way to do it because you're inside, you're safe, you're in familiar surroundings. You can watch and listen to what's going on in the rest of the world and still be just as much a part of it as if you were standing in the freezing cold outside in Times Square. And with that, this is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. We're doing a special New Year's show tomorrow on Off the Hook, and then back to normal shows after that on both stations, hopefully. Again, write to us, otw@2600.com, and keep listening to the radio. Stay tuned for Finn. Have a happy New Year. Yeah. My friends, Happy New Year to you all. This is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB. Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. We're kicking you New Year's Eve off right here with lots of rock and music. And just so you're aware, my balls have already dropped. And it was a long time ago. But stay tuned right here on WUSB.
Just a speck of DNA from the Turin Shroud was used to clone our Savior, and our Savior said aloud, "Listen up, my children, I've come back to tell you this. Don't drink the water, 'cause water's mostly piss. Children, drink nothing but champagne. It makes life shorter than drinking water. Drink nothing but champagne, and you will never say no to love." So we asked David Bowie, and Bowie said,
"It's true, and he said it, I believe it, and so should you. That's the one thing on which Winston and Adolf concurred.
Time.